Chapter 27. Luke found Mara standing at the large viewport in the suite they'd been given on the Tafanda Bay. He caught a bit of surprise from her as she entered the cabin, but the spike leveled quickly as she recognized him. She'd been hugging her arms around herself as she looked out at the mother jungle below, and let them slacken slightly. But Luke laced his fingers through hers and hugged her from behind. He kissed her neck. "How are you doing?" Mara nodded confidently.
"Good. Very good. High Priest Tauren stopped by and graciously performed with me the ritual he did for the Jedi and others. I felt ashamed that I'd not been there with the Jedi, but..."
"It's okay, Mara. We would have loved to have you there, but we want you rested to be at your best." She leaned her head to the right, gently touching her temple to his.
"I know, and that's very sweet of you, Luke, but there are times I feel like a malingerer. In some ways, Ithor seems so peaceful that maintaining an edge is tough for me. It's not so much that I like strife, it's just that I've been trained to deal with it. I'm at my best doing that."
"And you're one of the best doing that."
"One of?"
Luke laughed lightly. "Let me amend that. The best at dealing with strife." She turned her head and kissed him on the cheek.
"Thank you. Mind if I just relax here in your arms for a while?"
"Sure. We have time."
"A day or two?"
"Well, sure. But standing here for a couple of days will be a bit much, don't you think?" Luke smiled. "We could get faint from hunger."
"Oh, good point, husband mine. Perhaps we should go lie down."
"Definitely like the way you think, Mara." The Jedi Master hugged her just a bit tighter. Outside the viewport, a flock of triple-clawed Manolium birds took off in a brilliant gush of color, to whirl and dive in a rainbow arc back down to another roost.
"Wow. With all the planning and everything that has been going on, I have had little time to stop and see what it is we're fighting to protect."
"I've been watching for hours, and there is always more to see."
Mara turned within his arms and brought her arms up and around his neck.
"Rilal Tauren was very good for me. He told me that while the Mother Jungle is a peaceful place, it is not without violence and hostility. He noted that predators and prey are all part of the natural cycle. A predator kills prey and eats it. Then bugs and microbes devour what remains, nourishing plants that provide food and shelter for the prey."
"And he likened you to a predator?" Mara shrugged.
"Actually, he likened me more to a firestorm burning a huge swath through the jungle during the dry years."
Didn't think they got that much news out here."
"Oh, Jedi sarcasm. I'm wounded."
They both laughed aloud, and Luke kissed her again, on the lips and tip of her nose. "He gave you a bit of perspective with which to view your role in the upcoming battle?"
"Yes, one that allowed me to reconcile my nature with that of the Mother Jungle. And that's really the key. The Mother Jungle embraces it all because it is part of the natural cycle. What is unnatural about the Yuuzhan Vong invasion, about war, is that it's not for natural reasons. Politics, avarice, greed, jealousy, all of these things cause wars, but are pretty much unrecognizable in nature. They occur when creatures try to divorce themselves from nature."
Luke smiled at her and hugged her very close. "That's one of the things I like the most about you, Mara. You're always on the move, always getting better and better. You continue to grow when so many would be content with sitting back."
"I can't sit back, Luke, especially now."
Mara slipped from his arms.
"There are so many things I want, and with the invasion, with my illness, I don't know if I will ever be able to..."
Her lips flattened into a thin line. Then she took his left hand in hers.
Maybe it's just all the talk of nature, but right now I really wish that we had... that I was carrying our child. I mean, I look at you and love you so much, Luke, and to even think that we might not be able to...
She looked away from him, her other hand curling into a fist.
Mara.
He kept his voice soft as he closed with her, letting their joined hands rest on her belly. He brushed a tear away with his thumb, then kissed her moistened cheek.
Love, we will get through this. I would love for nothing more than creating new life with you. One child, two, four.
She pressed a fingertip to his lips.
I know you have a lot to do right now, but I need you to be with me, just for a bit. Please?
As long as you need, Mara, as long as you desire. A smile traced her lips.
We both know there isn't that much time in the universe. I'll take what I can get now. We complete each other. We complete our connection with nature. And from there, we trust in the Force to guide us into doing what has to be done.
Corin handed the last Duraplast container up to the bald, heavy-set man helping to load the pulsar skate.
Looks like that's it.
The man nodded.
I'll secure the hatch and see to the passengers then. Thanks for the help. No problem.
Corin turned from him as the hatch irised closed and walked over to where Mirax was checking off the last of her passengers against the list in her datapad. All around them, the docking bay on the Athorian city ships bustled with activity. Countless ships, large and small, were loading refugees and equipment on as fast as they could. Once they cleared the bay, other ships would come and take their place. Throughout the city, and on all the other city ships, similar evacuations were taking place. The Jedi sidled up to his wife.
Got them all?
Uh-huh.
She snapped the small device closed and slipped it into a thigh pocket on her cargo pants.
We're fueled and about ready to go.
Corin reached out and stroked her cheek with the back of his left hand.
You know I don't want you to go.
I know, but you don't want me here either.
Mirax smiled and jerked a thumb at the freighter behind her.
I'm rolling this team out to Borleos. Climate there isn't quite optimal for Athorian plants, but they think they can make changes.
I'm sure it will work.
He slipped an arm around her shoulders.
You going to be okay with this Chalco guy crewing the ship?
From what I've seen so far, I think he's worth trusting. We deliver the cargo, then I drop him back on Coruscant.
She leaned her head against Corin's shoulder.
Then I'm coming back here.
Mirax, don't.
She turned to face him, pressing her hands against his chest.
Hey, listen up, Corin. The last time you went off and fought the Yuuzhan Vong, you barely escaped. And the time before that, you were more dead than alive when they brought you back.
Mirax, having you here isn't going to keep me safe.
Maybe not. But I can certainly kill whoever it is who gets you.
Corin rested his hands on her shoulders.
First, I'm not planning on dying.
Very few people do.
True.
He sighed.
Mirax, I don't want you here. The fighting is going to be nasty. What you're doing now, taking Athorians and their botanical bounty away, that's more important than anything I'm likely to accomplish here. You're going to be doing what you do well. And so will I.
Her brown eyes narrowed.
The chances of my being killed are rather slender.
I know. And I like that.
He gave Anakin Solo a quick nod as the youth went running up the skate's landing ramp, then touched his forehead to his wife's.
My grandfather died when my father was young, and I know you lost your mom young. I don't want that to happen to our kids. But the only thing worse would be if both of us die here.
If we both die, Booster will take care of the kids.
Now there's a comfort.
She lifted his chin with her hand.
Think of it as motivation to stay alive, Corin.
He ducked his head to kiss her hand, then looked up, his smile carrying all the way from his mouth to his green eyes.
I have motivation, love. And look at the record. The first time, they nearly killed me. The second time, I escaped in pretty good shape. Momentum and trajectory I've got. It's the Vong who should be worried.
Mirax smiled grudgingly.
You know, that cockiness of yours really drives my father nuts.
But you love it.
Well, when you were a pilot, it was attractive.
She shrugged.
In a Jedi Knight, well...
Yes?
Well, the Yuuzhan Vong should take it as a warning.
Mirax kissed him once, softly. Then her kiss hardened. Corin let his hands slip down and around her back to draw her into a tight embrace. In her kiss, in her body, he felt an urgency and intensity, fueled more by love than any sense of loss or fear.
I will miss you, Corin, so much.
Me too, Mirax.
He clung to her fiercely. Through his mind flashed scenes from their life together. The first time he ever saw her. Her face as she slept peacefully in the wake of passion. The tears and smiles after the birth of their children. And even that spark of pain hidden behind an impassive mask as she watched a child try and fail, knowing that she could not make the failure right.
I love you, Mirax. Always will.
I know.
She kissed him again, then smiled.
You know, I'd love to take the next 12 hours to say goodbye to you properly, but they need the ship berth.
Bureaucrats have no romance in their hearts.
Corin kissed her again.
Whatever you were thinking for us to say goodbye, figure that's how we'll say hello again, and take a week doing it.
You have yourself a date.
She kissed her fingers, then pressed them to his lips.
Be careful, Corin. I know you'll be brave.
Anakin found Chalco tightening the restraining straps on a couple of the Athorians in the Skate's lounge.
You weren't going to tell me you were leaving?
Chalco patted the young Athorian on the shoulder, then turned to face Anakin.
You've been busy doing Jedi stuff. I didn't want to interrupt. Mirax needed some help, and one thing flowed into another, you know?
That explains why you're here, but not why you didn't say goodbye.
The man frowned.
Always said you were a smart kid. It's like this, Anakin.
Chalco leaned down, resting his hands on the youth's shoulders.
Going after Deshara Kor, I kind of wanted to be a hero, and you saw how that turned out. I went to rescue you, and you turned around and rescued me. I guess I figured, well, I'm not really hero material.
Anakin frowned at him.
Hey, you did rescue me. As you said, if you'd not brought the blaster, I'd not have taken Deshara Kor down. And you know, what you're doing here, helping these people escape, is heroic.
Sure, maybe. But not the sort of heroism you're going to need.
Chalco patted him on the cheek.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy I met you. Proud, in fact, to know a Jedi like you. I mean, we're friends, right? I'd like having a Jedi friend. And more important, I'd like having you as a friend.
We're friends, Chalco.
Good. Then look, my friend, the reason I'm getting my sorry carcass off this world is so there will be one less person that needs rescuing, okay?
He smiled and straightened up.
And I was planning to calm you, you know, leave you a message or something so we wouldn't get weepy and all.
I believe you.
Anakin smiled, then looked to his right as a comlink on a shelf started to beep.
Should I?
Chalco nodded.
It's Corin's.
Anakin picked it up and answered.
Anakin Solo here.
Anakin, where's Corin?
Wedge Antilles's voice was easy to recognize, even over the comlink. I thought I was connecting with his comlink.
You did. He's outside with his wife. I can get him.
It's okay. Tell him to wait there. I'm on my way to that docking bay anyway.
Anakin frowned. What's the matter?
A Yuuzhan Vong cruiser showed up at the edge of the system and dumped out a shuttle. Its ID transponder registers as the one Alegos Akla took out to meet with the Yuuzhan Vong.
Wedge's voice became lower.
All we're getting is a recorded message, playing over and over. It's from Alegos, to Corin, conveying to him the compliments of a Yuuzhan Vong commander.